I want to share with you tonight something that has blessed me. And I want to talk to you tonight about faith as a fruit. In Mark chapter 11, when you work the word faith through the Bible, you find that you can't restrict faith to one definition and one usage. Because if you do, you'll cause nothing but confusion. And restricting faith to one definition will, in turn, cause gross misunderstanding of God's word to you. Faith has been around since before the creation of mankind. That's recorded in Genesis chapter 1 forward. I want to talk to you tonight about faith as a fruit. Faith as a fruit. So before I show you that, you're here in Mark chapter 11, in verse 22. Jesus said, with regards to the fig tree and the cursing of it, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, is the way the King James reads. Have faith in God. Now the center reference of King James says, have the faith of God. Matthew, Mark. And that's the accurate translation of this verse. It's the faith of God. 23 says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The reason why you can do that is because of the preceding verse. If you have the faith of God. No one in and of themselves, by believing in their heart, can talk to a mountain and move a mountain. Moving a mountain is a manifestation of spiritual power. Spiritual power only comes from two sources. It either comes from God or the devil. And in order to move a mountain, you need the manifestation of faith. Faith as a power. It's a power that would move a mountain. The Geneva Bible reads, have the faith of God. The Douay Rheims American edition of 1899 reads, have the faith of God, of Mark 11. The Bible in Basic English, 1949 edition, have the faith of God. Young's Literal Translation, a translation of 1862, have the faith of God. That's the way they read. It's the faith of God. The faith of God. Now, for many, many, many years, I have struggled with faith and believing and all these kind of things. But what I want to share with you tonight is going to clear up all of that. And I hope that it will be able, you'll be able to understand it. And once you understand it, very simply, you'll be able to apply it. Now, go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, and in verse 15, man comes to Jesus, said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, sore vexed, and oftentimes he falleth into the fire, and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answering and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and it departed out of him, and the child was cured from the very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your what? For verily I say unto you that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to what? You. It's not because if you have believing that's going to happen. It's because if you have faith, the God kind of faith, faith as a power, because it takes power to move a mountain from one place to another. But what the Bible says is that it's a seed a seed the size of a mustard seed. You understand? The size of a mustard seed. Now, your mustard seed's about a speck of pepper. It's about how big it is, a little flick of pepper, okay? So the Bible says if you have faith, God's faith, seed faith, the size of a mustard seed, just that little bitty piece of faith, if it's God's faith, will move a mountain. That's how powerful God's faith is. That's faith as a power. See? Remove hence, nothing shall be impossible for you. In the 11, Matthew 11, 22, he says, do such and such, have faith, and believe. Believe. Now, are you ready? Years, years, and years, I've struggled with this. Here's the answer. What is the difference between faith and believing? In these records, Matthew 17 and Mark 22, it's talking about faith as a power moving these mountains. It's talking about the faith of God. Okay? In Mark 11, there's more to the record. He says in verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he had said will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you'll receive them, and ye shall have them. Ye shall have them. Look at Luke chapter 1, please. Luke 1, verse 45. Talking about Mary, okay? And blessed is she that what? Believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Okay? Blessed is she that believeth. Mark 9, verse 23. 9:23. Well, let's start off in 20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood. I'm sorry, that's Matthew. Let me read you Mark 9:23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst what?
Believe.
All things are possible to him that believeth. So, you got believing mixed in here. And believing pays a part. The problem is this. People think there's power in believing. There's no power in believing. There's no power in believing. There's power in faith. Faith has a power. There's no power in believing. This is what believing is. And it's that simple. Believing plugs you in to the source to receive the power, to receive the manifestation. That's why believing is necessary. Okay? This has no power in it. It's an extension cord. You understand? But without this, you cannot receive from the receptacle. Now, as you believe and doubt not, you plug into the source. You're on this end. The other end is God. Okay? You plug into the source. As you stay plugged into the source, that's not doubting. You will receive. Understand? This is what believing is, and that's all believing is. It's necessary, but in and of itself, to say, I'm going to believe and hold this like this and come to pass, ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. This is what it was talking about with Mary. There's going to be a performance of those things that she's believed. And do you know why I know it's talking about that way? Because the performance is a manifestation of supernatural power. Right? Mm-hmm. And there's only two sources of supernatural power. Right? God or who?
The devil.
Okay. She plugged in, she believed, and then she just simply trusted the rest of the way. As soon as she plugged in and believed, in her particular case, she got pregnant. That's the best description I know how to describe to you what believing is. Okay? It's necessary. You got to do it. You got to stay plugged in. You understand? Because a lot of people start out and they're doing good, but then they unplug. You can believe, but the believing isn't the power. The believing is the extension cord. The believing is the contact. The believing is how you plug in to the power. That's how it works. The power in that is faith, when it's a manifestation of faith. To move the mountain, you got to be plugged in, and then God sends the faith through there to you, so you to manifest it. Once your job is done, okay, it's gone. It's a seed of faith. It's a little black pepper flake of faith. It's a mustard seed of faith. That's all it takes to move a mountain. How big is God? How powerful is God? When you need a faith greater than your own to accomplish something, that's where God's faith comes in. You receive God's faith as a manifestation of power by believing, by plugging into it. That connects you with Him. He gives it to you. You utilize it. Then it goes back to His storehouse. Now, that's faith as a power. Now, you remember I explained to you, you can't take faith and restrict it to one usage, one definition. Now, in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 8, we see faith as a gift. Faith as a gift. Okay? I'll read it to you. Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The grace, the salvation, and the faith in those verses, all three of them are a gift of God. It's a gift of God. Not of works. If it was your faith, it would be works. If it was your grace, it'd be works. If it was something you could do to earn your salvation, it could be works. He goes in the next verse and he tells us, not of works. Here you see faith as a gift. Okay? You see faith as a power in Matthew 11, a seed of faith, a mustard seed of God's faith to move a mountain. You see faith as a gift here in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, I want to show you faith as a fruit. And where are we going to go for that one? Galatians. That's correct. What chapter? 6, right? Is it?
5.
Okay. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, and now it lists the fruit of the Spirit. Among those fruits is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and what? Okay, so now we see faith as a fruit, specifically as a fruit of the Spirit. Okay, we saw faith as a power. We saw faith as a gift. Now we see faith as a fruit of the Spirit. A gift, for instance, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, faith as a gift. A gift is something you can't earn, right? It's not a works. It's not a pay. It's a what? It's a gift. If I want to just give you a present, I gave you a present because you didn't earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift. On December 25th, in the United States, we celebrate a holiday called what?
Christmas.
And when I was a little boy, when Christmas time came around, I would always wake up early Christmas Day all the time. It was a good memory for me. And I'd run to the living room, to see what was under the Christmas tree. Because in our house, when you were little, there was nothing under the Christmas tree December 24th. And you wonder, because, you know, Santa's going to come, he's going to put all these what?
Gifts.
He's going to put all these gifts under the Christmas tree. And every year, without fail, there were always lots of gifts under the tree. The 24th, there was nothing. But somehow on the 25th, there'd be gifts. Overnight, these gifts seem to appear from nowhere. See, that's the difference between a gift and a fruit. Okay? Faith as a gift is something you can't earn. You don't deserve. It's given to you. You understand? A gift is free. And a gift can appear in an instant, just like at Christmas time. Not there 1 minute, the next minute it's what? It's there. A tree or a plant, however, needs to be cared for. It needs to be cultivated. It needs to be faithfully maintained before it can produce a fruit. And there is no direct connection between the tree and the gift at Christmas time. There's no connection. In other words, the gift tells us nothing about the nature of the tree. Now, the gift could be, for instance, a pair of new sneakers. However, the sneakers, the gift under the tree, tell us nothing about the nature or the character of the tree. They're not related. The tree could be a blue spruce. You could have picked a blue spruce that year. However, a blue spruce has nothing to do with sneakers. Could be a Douglas fir, a Norway spruce. Could be a Scotch pine. All those mentioned before, those trees, they have nothing to do with the little train, or the pair of sneakers, or the new sled, or the toboggan. They tell you nothing about the character or nature of the tree. You see, because they're gifts. They're gifts. You see, the tree doesn't reflect the nature of the gift that's under it. Nor does the gift reflect the nature of the tree. There's no connection. Because it's a gift, it's free, it's given. However, a fruit tells you a lot about the tree that bore it. You see? The fruit reflects the nature of the tree. If I go outside and I walk up to a tree and there's an apple hanging on it, then I can be assured that that is what kind of a tree? An apple tree. Cherries, it's a cherry tree. Peach, it's a peach tree. Fig, it's a fig tree, right? The fruit reflects the nature and character of the tree. And the tree is reflected in the fruit that it produces. You see? The nature of the tree reflects the nature and quality of the fruit that it bears. Okay? Now we're looking at faith as a fruit of the Spirit. Okay? An apple tree will never bear figs. Just won't happen. A healthy tree will bear healthy fruit. And an unhealthy tree will bear what kind of fruit? Unhealthy. Look at Matthew 7. Matthew 7. In verse 17, it says, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewed down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall what?
Know them.
The fruit on a tree. Take a fig tree, for instance, okay? Because I'm familiar with fig trees. The fruit on a fig tree is not produced by a single act. Trust me, it's not. With some fig trees, you have to go to great lengths to protect them through the winter. You have to wrap them up. You have to tie them after you wrap them up with a tarp. And then what a lot of the Italians would do is they'd get a bucket and they put it on the top of the tree. Because they don't want it to die all the way back through the winter. Because if it dies all the way back through the winter, it won't be producing figs until autumn. It'll take that much longer to grow. So you have to protect it. You have to prune it. You have to wrap it. Keep frostbite away from it. There's a lot of stuff you have to do. The fig is not produced by a single act. Rather, it is produced by a steady, continual process of growth and development, both on the individual and the tree. To produce the best fruit, the tree must be carefully cultivated. And in order to carefully cultivate the tree, it takes time and it takes skill. You have to know what you're doing. And it takes time. Thus, a spiritual gift is both imparted and received by a single brief transaction. And that spiritual gift tells us nothing about the character of the person that exercises it. Now, take for instance, new birth. All right? The new birth transaction. And that spiritual gift tells us nothing about the character of the person that exercises it. Now, take for instance, period of time. Like, you can get born again like what? Right? Okay. Once you receive that gift, okay, now it's yours. It's seed. It's inside of you. That gift, okay, tells us nothing about the character of the person who just received it. Because many times, born-again believers are the most unloving, the most judgmental, the most harsh people there are in the world. Would you agree? Yeah. What is unloving? What is harsh? What is judgmental? That's character. That's what's in the person's heart. You understand? That's character. That's their nature. But the seed that's inside of them, the gift of Holy Spirit, eternal life, is what? It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's love. It's flawless. It's dynamic. It's gorgeous. You understand? But the gift, okay, the character of the individual doesn't necessarily reflect the gift. They can be separate. You got it? That's a gift. That's a character of a person that exercises it. Just because a person gets born again does not necessarily mean they are of sterling character. We have renewed mind. We got a lot of other things we got to work on, right? On the other hand, fruit expresses the nature of the life from which it proceeds. Fruit comes as a result of the process of growth. Of the process of growth. A gift, listen, a gift can express ability, but fruit expresses character. Both gifts and fruits should complement one another. Okay? A gift, the new birth, the Holy Spirit, that enables you. That gives you the ability to do lots of wonderful things, right? But fruit is an expression of character. It's an expression of your nature. It's an expression of faithful cultivation. faithful trust, faithful stewardship. And that's why faith is described as a fruit in Galatians, as a fruit of the Spirit. See, faith as a fruit doesn't appear overnight. Faith as a fruit takes time. It has to be cultivated. You have to be faithful. You have to spend time. You have to weed out things. You have to nurture. You have to, you understand? Just like you do with a tomato or any other kind of fruit you want to talk about. You have to spend some time to fix that so you can get the fruit. When you get to the place that you have all nine of the fruits of the Spirit, all nine of the fruit of the Spirit is the totality of a mature Christian in expression of his character and his nature. And they're supposed to work together. Where do we have this example? You have that example perfected in Jesus Christ. He had the totality of all the nine fruits, and it expressed his character and his nature, and he manifested that as he walked and ministered on the earth. And we now have who? Christ in us, right? Mm-hmm. See, that's why fruit comes as a process of time. As a process of time. And you can observe the fruit of the Spirit in a person's life. And when you don't observe the fruit of the Spirit in a person's life, that shows you where they are in their growth spiritually. Now, I'm not talking about what's coming out of their mouth. Because if you talk to someone, they'll always want to try to convince you of how spiritual they are. I'm talking about observing a person's life, okay, and seeing that the fruit of the Spirit is manifest in their life. 22. Love. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. When a person is manifesting the love of God and is a loving person, that person has got to the place in their life with love that their tree, quote unquote, is bearing the fruit of love. Their life is bearing the fruit of love. If the person is an unloving person, if they're calloused, if they're whatever, they have not taken the time to care, to cultivate that area of life spiritually so that they're manifesting. And you see, a tree that's bearing the fruit of love doesn't walk around and say, I'm bearing the fruit of love. I can take you outside and I can show you, and you'll look and say, oh, that thing's full of buds. You know there's going to be fruit there. Or you can walk up to an apple tree and you can see that it's just bursting, just booming. And then you can walk up to an apple tree and you can see an apple this big and it's deformed and it's got a worm and it's got holes in it, right? That's not good fruit. Something's wrong. Something's stopping that fruit from maturing. Okay, that's what happens with believers. Things stop us from maturing. And we get a little apple or a little deformed round thing that looks like something once in a while. And we say, oh, I'm bearing fruit of the Spirit. But there's something there that's stopping it from being what God wants it to be, which is abundance, which is beautiful, which is lovely. You understand? Joy. Joy is expressed as a fruit of the Spirit. When a person cultivates, takes the time to apply the Word of God, receive the Word of God, believe, trust the Word of God. See, you're going to find out as you work these things that it all revolves around trust. Because as you trust in the Lord, and you rest in the Lord, these fruits are able to grow. Because you trust God. So when a person trusts God, they don't have to say, I trust God. You can just look at their life. Their life will manifest the fruit of the Spirit. They'll have joy. The joy is something you can have in horrible circumstances. The next one's peace. See, peace is a fruit. You know how you get peace? You cultivate it. You do the same thing that you do if you want love or you want joy or any other fruit of the Spirit. You work at it. You take time. You water it. You develop it. You guard it. You weed it. And as you do, and as you're faithful, and as you trust God, you know what happens one day? It starts to manifest. And if it's coming from the Spirit, and it's unencumbered, it's not contaminated, it's not defiled, you understand? Then it'll be a peace that passes understanding. It'll be a quiet believing, a quiet rest. That's the peace. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, all of these things. These are fruits of the Spirit. And among the fruits of the Spirit, faith is one that is listed. Faith as a fruit of the Spirit is trust, is what it is. It's resting in God. It's trust and knowing that God is trustworthy. You can't trust someone until you know that they're trustworthy. And you can't get to the place that you know that God is trustworthy unless you know Him and you know His Word. And you put Him to the test. You put Him to the test. And that's why the Bible teaches us to receive the Word like a little child. See? Because if there's anything that is a badge for a little child, if there's anything that singles out a little child, is that they trust everything and everybody. You know? You get a little kid, and you put them up on a big table like this, and you say like this, fall, close your eyes, put your hands across your chest, and fall backwards. And you know what they'll do? Before your words are out of your mouth, they'll be falling. You know why? Because they trust. The last week of training to become a Marine, one of the things that the drill sergeant will have the trainee do is to get up on a table, close his eyes, and fall backwards. And he has to trust that his fellow Marines will catch him. And that's why they do that, to build trust, because he has to learn to be able to put his life in the hands of his brothers, and he has to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they're going to catch him. That's faith as a fruit. It's to where you get to the place that you trust God and you know that He's trustworthy. And that is expressed by faith in your life. So when things are going crazy and things are going nuts, you can rest and you can manifest the fruit of the Spirit, because you, over a period of time, have been faithful, have been diligent, have been studying, have been praying, have come into an intimate relationship with your Father, and you know Him personally, and you know that He won't let you down, you know that He's trustworthy, and you know that you can trust Him 100%. And that doesn't happen overnight. You understand? It doesn't happen overnight. And in order to get to that place, this is what you got to do. You got to believe. You got to plug in, and then you know what you got to do? You got to stay plugged in. You can't hear a teaching and get all excited and then pull the plug and go out and do whatever you're going to do. And then 6 months later, come back, and plug in again. Okay? Listen. Which one of you want to try to teach me that you're going to take a tomato plant in this weather and water it today and not come back for 6 months? What do you think that plant's going to look like? Right? Well, that's what happens with us. You have to take the same care and you have to take the same skill that you develop and the same faithfulness if you want to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit takes work. Gifts don't. Gifts are free. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the opposite. Fruit expresses the nature of the tree. The gift doesn't. Can it? Should it? Yes. But many times it doesn't. But you can't have an apple without having an apple tree. You can't have a banana without having a banana tree. So on and so forth. Both a gift and a fruit should complement one another. God's gifts, Holy Spirit, whatever He's gifted you with personally, God's gifts should provide practical expression of character, just like they did in the life of Jesus Christ. God's gifts should provide practical expression of character. If God has gifted you with something, then you don't take it and run away and be selfish and do nothing with it. The reason why God gifts you, you understand, is so that you could be like Jesus Christ and follow in His steps. And God's gifts provide you the ability so that you can practically express the character of that gift. If God gifts you with a ministry of exhortation, Barnabas, son of consolation, son of exhortation, there are just some people that you can get around, and when you're done being around them, you just feel like $1 million. Because they excel. They have a gift of blessing people. They have a gift of exhorting you. They have a gift of encouragement. There are some people that when it comes to church finances and books and materials like that, they just fix everything up. They just give me a pencil and a paper, I'll show you how to do this. They're gifted in that area. They have that ability. There are some people that are great song leaders. They have enthusiasm. They get the crowd into the song. They just, you know it. Like Carmen. Carmen's been around music all his life. Carmen knows how to present music. He knows the proper, you understand? So that gift, the expression of that character is in his service towards the body. You understand? That's what it's there for. Gifts should provide practical expressions of character. Jesus Christ was gifted in compassion. He was gifted in miracles. He was gifted in love. He had all kinds of stuff going on. It was like Prego. Everything's in there, right? He had it all going on. But he expressed, that was an expression of the character. You understand what he was all about. And that's why when God gives you something, God gives you an ability, okay? That's why you should utilize it. He doesn't give you that ability so you could be selfish. He doesn't give you that ability so you can sit on your butt. He gives you that ability so that you could share it and bless other people. Bless other people. Jesus Christ's loving, compassionate character was an expression of the gracious gifts of God operating in his life. See? And when all nine of the fruits of the Spirit are fully developed. They express the totality of the Christian character. Each one satisfying a specific need while complementing the others. So in other words, faith doesn't walk all over meekness, because meekness is meek and faith is powerful, or faith is trusting. You understand? They're supposed to work together. And each one is designed to meet a specific need in the body of Christ. So when love is necessary, and that person has been faithful and has been manifesting these qualities and cultivating this, and that love is there, that person's able to serve in that capacity. When peace is necessary, that person's able to serve. But you see, all of these fruits are given to us as we stay put on the Word, as we cultivate the right things of God in our life, and then you will be able to see. Nobody's going to have to tell you. You'll be able to see the fruit of the Spirit in people's lives. So that is faith as a fruit. We saw faith as a power, faith as a gift, and faith as a fruit. And the simple way to remember it is that a gift is free. Faith as a gift is free. But faith as a fruit, that takes some work. And the key is this, the extension cord. This is believing. This is what believing represents. See, they used to say, believing's the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door, and I never understood what that meant. But this is what I did understood. I understood this, that they had believing and they had faith. Okay? Two things. Two different things. I didn't know what they were, but I knew they were two different things. This I understand. This is believing. Is it necessary? Absolutely. But there's no power in believing. Believing allows you to receive the power. Believing allows you to manifest the power. But there's not power in believing. And when you hear people saying, I'm believing for this and I'm believing for that, as if their believing is going to produce a manifestation, they've been taught wrong. And they're going to be believing for the rest of their life. And unless they cross over with God and get energized, they're not going to get guts. And that's a great error in the church. And that's been a great error in the circles and what we grew up in. I'm believing for this. Let me tell you something. If you're believing and you're plugged in, you're going to get it. The problem is, I'm believing. Oh, I need to plug this into something? You understand? Mm-hmm. They're thinking this is it. This is part of it. You need this, but guess what? This alone, you ain't going to do nothing. You got it? That's how simple it is. And if you go and you look at believing through the Word and you take this example and you apply it, it'll fit. It'll fit perfectly. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Word. Thank you for your clear, simple understanding of it. And thank you, Father, that we can practically apply this. And we praise you and we love you, Father. And we cast all our cares upon you because we trust you, because you are trustworthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.